You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Marco Benevento and Dave Drywitz on a special What It Is today. Got these traveling musicians in Studio B talking a little bit about especially the recent phenomenon of albums being covered live in concert. For example, Phish very recently, just this past Halloween, covering Little Feat's Waiting for Columbus live in concert. They had been playing Led Zeppelin the night before. Well, you've heard of bands playing whole album sides and such, even artists going back and playing their own albums in concert. And that's what we're talking about today on What It Is.
Yeah, Dave even did a Beatles marathon.
Oh, back in my college days, some friends of mine and I did a concert where we played all the Beatles songs. It was a benefit, but we played all the Beatles songs from 10 in the evening till 2 the next day. And it was incredible with the different by the different records. Everybody, you know, by the White Album, everybody hated each other. And by Abbey Road, we pulled it all together and finished it off and took it home.
In the trio playing with Dave, we cover some tunes. We cover George Harrison's "Run of the Mill" and a song by Deerhoof called "Twin Killers," and Elton John,
Pink Floyd.
I think that it's when you first pick up your instrument, it's what you learn. You figure out how to play that guitar riff or the bass line or the drum part or the piano part for whatever song you like. I remember learning when I was a kid learning about, like, you know, I think I was maybe 7 and getting into synthesizers or you know, keyboards and stuff. And I learned Dream On, like the intro part with that cool sort of keyboard sound. Yeah. And I remember I was like so psyched that I could play that, you know. By Aerosmith. So, you know, I think that, you know, bands, it's just a natural thing for bands to do. And then, of course, to do it, like, on Halloween, like Phish does.
Right,
you know,
making an event
out of it. It's also, I think, like a window into the artist's mind a little bit. Like, oh, whoa, they're checking out these guys. I didn't know that. Like, I got into Brad Meldow around 1997, great pianist, jazz pianist, and he covered a song by Nick Drake, and I didn't know who Nick Drake was at the time, and I checked out Nick Drake, and I was just like, wow, that is,
yeah, it's like a very deep, jazz, you know? It's like a modern jazz thing to do, though, because
yeah,
jazz people always interpret
jazz people,
like pop
right.
songs
That's true.
Or
right.
music, pop music.
Yeah, and, you know, it's a window maybe into their mind or, you know, what they're thinking, or they could do it tongue-in-cheek. You know, like they cover this song and you're like, whoa, it's, you know,
it's also a good way to connect with an audience who might not be familiar with your own music enough. And you're kind of playing to give them something they know, you know, even if you interpret it your way.
Right.
It
is
a nice
definitely.
Thing to do.
Yeah. Especially when you're going into a new town and playing maybe for the first time and you play a bunch of originals that people have never heard. And then you maybe do a cover and they can sort of connect with you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's the ultimate goal, really, as an audience member, is to connect with the guy and somebody on the stage. Like, oh, it's hitting me right now. That's cool.
Yeah. In some ways, it seems like these albums are being canonized in a way. You know, they're being set up. You know, these are the sort of archetypes that the culture is going to use as
going to live on forever, and we're just going to have to like live in the shadow of all this
right.
great music of the 70s. It's so.
Yeah,
it's so tough.
It comes back again, and here we
yeah,
see it once more,
it does.
And in a little bit of a new wrinkle.
Right,
it's almost a little bit too. I think maybe just that safety of history when you look back to where things have already been done. There's no risk involved into that period. Maybe just before you were born, and you've got these pieces of music that stand out in a completely different way than anything that you've known and have say learned. Coming up or in the present day.
Cool. Destroyed us all, you know, like, what can you do?
Yeah.
Where can we go now? We have to just destroy it. That's all. We can just take it down and just smash it and
That's
rebuild
true.
It.
Right.
They just,
but, it, you know, is it the last hurrah of the LP? You know, LP's not nearly so prevalent anymore.
Well, it seems like the LP is coming back, though, kind of. Like, it seems like the only record stores that are surviving are ones that sell records, because CDs are kind of done. Because people just go, but the LPs are coming back. People want People want the warmth. They're missing. They feel it. They're not.
Yeah, it's true.
They feel it. They feel the lack of it, and they want that sound. And they, once they find it, then they, because it seems like eBay has made, you know, selling and buying LPs. You know, before you had to go to a town that had cool record stores. How are you going to find this record? And you just find it in 5-10 minutes, and you decide if you're going to pay $7 for it or $3 for a beat up copy, or
yeah,
you know,
yeah, that's true.
So you guys on tour, Marco Benevento Trio, if you had to pick an album to cover in a concert, what would you pick?
God, there's so many.
An album? A whole album? I don't know.
Or a side.
Well, I guess.
I mean, it's been done so many times, but
I know.
Road
actually,
is always a
I
good
could
one.
Totally answer this question because of the new influence that has come into my life via our sound guy, Dan. He turned me on to this great pianist living in Canada by the name of Galt McDermott. And I never heard of him. And he, I think he did the music for Hairspray.
Galt McDermott wrote Hair.
Oh, Hair.
Music for Hair.
Okay, yeah. Right.
I'm actually very familiar.
You're very
I've seen
familiar.
Him perform
okay.
in New York.
Amazing.
Like, recently.
And I,
it's very, he's
oh,
quite
that's
old
cool.
now.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
There's
that's
a
awesome.
Bernard Purdy playing drums in his, all his bass. But he did Hair and another Broadway show that was a Shakespearean play, Two Gentlemen of Verona.
But he has a record that I heard, maybe Greatest Hits, or I don't know if it's his only record. I don't know that much about him, but it's all like piano led and key, like Wurlitzer and other keyboards, just piano, bass, and drums, and it all sounds like it's live, you know. But it sounds great, like done to tape, and it's just really grooving, and the tunes are pretty contagious. And but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It'd be a sort of obscure, it'd be an obscure person to cover. I mean, I'd probably.
But if you did Hair, that might be a blast.
Yeah, Hair. It could be Hair, yeah.
Well, I was involved in teaching at the School of Rock, and actually Marco's done stuff there too. And what they do is they do covers of classic rock mostly, but they actually had a show where they did all the music from Hair, which was pretty amazing, a bunch of teenagers doing that stuff. But
what do you think? Email us what it is at wncw.org. Your thoughts on the trend of albums being covered live in concert. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Marco Benevento and Dave Drywitz. Until next time.